Super Talk Mississippi Media Production. You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi, covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else. With Sports Talk Mississippi's Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk of On3 Sports. Now get ready for Thunder and Lightning.
It's Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi. Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk here with you on a Thursday morning. Thanks for joining us at supertalk.fm or wherever it is that you get podcasts from. Appreciate you guys out there, our great listeners, especially our servicemen and women out there taking care of us. Robbie's very happy with me today, and I'll tell you why. I have a remote later today. I've got to go to Saltillo to Scruggs.
Yes.
I'm not wearing any blue. I got black pants, gray slacks.
Stick it to the man.
I got my Christmas Bulldog socks on.
You know what you should do? You should show up in a purple and gold shirt with blue pants.
I have blue pants be a bit much.
I have the Florida blue or green.
I have a purple genteel polo.
I just showed up this way. I'm sorry.
I think it's clean. I'd have to go check. I think it's clean. I go check. I may do that. I have to go back home after I do this. So
if something does happen here,
it'd just be funny to have.
Listen, I'm going to go ahead and go on the record.
Yeah.
If for some crazy reason the stars align and God decides to throw Mississippi State a bone here, and on Black Friday we see Mississippi State win the Golden Egg and then Lane Kiffin go somewhere, I will be tuned in to Sports Talk Mississippi.
The
entire 3 hours. I'll listen to every commercial.
I hope everybody will be.
I will listen to every second. I will watch it.
I promise to put – I'm going to be like Shawn Michaels – WrestleMania, I'm five star carrying a broomstick to a five star match. All right,
Richard will be giving the littlest effort. It'll be like Hulk Hogan versus Shawn Michaels when Hulk's like kicking him and he's bouncing up.
It will be must listen.
But as you and I know, this is setting up for a giant kick to the groin in Mississippi State.
But yeah, it's a state win on Friday, followed by on Saturday, Kiffin takes the LSU job. Don't miss Sports Talk Mississippi on Monday. December
1st. Brian's going to drive Richard to the point. Richard will literally drive to Starkville.
That might make an appearance over there. Get your one. Hold on. I still have it. Hold on.
Richard will drive to Starkville and challenge Brian to a fight in these studios. And Brian will be sitting here with this basketball goal in the background.
I still have it. It's here in case I need it.
There's an opportunity arising, which, I don't know. I don't know if anything will come from it.
Yeah, that will definitely be one where I'll be like, if you want it so bad, Cross, hell in a cell. I want to thank our sponsors over at Strange Fruit Cup.
Call from a Florida source here.
Oh, maybe I almost should answer it on the air. I thank our sponsors over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse and Churn and Spoon Ice Cream. Start your day the right way with a trip to the drive-thru over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse here in Starkville, or at Brupolo over in Tupelo. It'd be a little weird, Robbie, if Brupolo is in Rose Acres.
That would be a little weird.
Wherever you are in our great state, you can enjoy.
I didn't realize how long it took us to get to the Brupolo Act.
Took a little bit. That's why I started us, and then we had a little fun. You know what? We had a little fun. Everybody
will have a little fun.
Everybody got
to
laugh. Even the Ole Miss fans were like,
Mississippi State and Ole Miss will have a wedding or a hanging.
Either way, we're going to have a good time.
Yeah. And that's not a racist joke, I swear. Please do not.
It's a quote from a movie.
Yes.
And they're going to hang a white guy.
Yeah. We're not going down that road.
I'll be honest with you. They're going to hang Cary Elwes, who may be the whitest guy in the world.
That's true. That's true.
He's top five.
He's British.
Yeah. Exactly. Anyway.
He eats weird breakfast.
Strange Brew Coffee. Beans for breakfast.
Yeah.
No beans for breakfast. Beef for breakfast. How about a lovely steak and eggs? That would be a great breakfast. Beef, it's what's for dinner. It could be for what's for lunch or for what's for breakfast as well. Beef, always the star of the show. If you're looking for great recipes, they're at msbeef.org. Of course, we're getting close to Thanksgiving. That's the turkey's day. But after that, you know that beef is what's for Christmas. It'll be prime rib time as we get closer to the end of the year. Beef, it's what's for dinner. Thanks to our friends at the Mississippi Beef Council. College Corner, collegecornerstore.com is a place to find the maroon and white merchandise you're looking for. Black Friday, just over a week away, you're going to play Beat the Clock with College Corner. They're going to have great deals. The earlier you get there, the more you can save. Everything maroon and white on discount. Everything with the logos that you're looking for, the state script, the M over S, and of course, the interlocking. It's all right there at College Corner. Two locations in the Jackson area, Ridgeland by Fleet Feet, Flow by the Half Shell. You can shop online, collegecornerstore.com. The thing to know is Priority One Bank. Priority One Bank, 16 locations to serve you throughout Central Mississippi. Let PriorityOneBank.com be your guide and show you not only they're going to help you invest and manage your money, but how they're going to help you prepare for the future. Now more than ever, when you have questions about your money, you need answers, talk to the good people at Priority One Bank, a bank that has a relationship with you, not just with your money. Let Priority One Bank make you their priority.
Yeah.
There we go. All right, so this is, we have not forgotten that it is a second bye week blitz here on Thunder and Lightning, so we've got some great stuff today. Later today, I'm talking to Coach Brian O'Connor, so that interview will be on tomorrow's podcast. Today, we've got two great interviews. Robbie's not going to have much of a role today, so, you know.
That's when I ever?
That's don't be like that. That's not true.
Well, sometimes.
It isn't. It's fine. So let's start with baseball, though. And I talked to Jake Mangum yesterday. All interviews here on Thunder and Lightning brought to you by Alora Modern Wellness. Really becoming a one-stop shop for recovery and for relaxation. If you are working out hard, you got to recover just as hard. Alora Modern Wellness can make that happen for you. They have a great number of services. Now they're offering massage. Whatever it takes to get you feeling better, that's what the good folks at Alora Modern Wellness are going to put together for you. Give them a call today at 662-268-9255, or you can visit their website, aloramodernwellness.com. You can see all of their services, and you can book your services online. Set up an appointment for optimal health and rejuvenation. aloramodernwellness.com. Talk to our guy, Jake Mangum, Major League Baseball star. I'm glad to finally be able to say those words, by the way.
It's about dang time.
That's what he talks about that in the interview. Let's go down to my conversation with Tampa Bay Ray, Diamond Dog, and all-around nice guy, Jake Mangum. Don't have a lot of former, or not former, current Major League superstars here on the podcast, but Jake Mangum, good to have you back with us here on the bye week. And I want to start this off. We're going to get some clarity on something. I demand clarity on this. All right. We all know your nickname is the mayor. We all know that. However, I saw a thing that the Rays put out. They were like, the mayor of Starkville. I have always referred to you as the mayor of Oxford because you dominated Ole Miss so badly when you were in college here. And, you know, A.J. Brown likes to say he's the mayor of Starkville, despite the fact that he was 1-2 against Mississippi State in his three Egg Bowls. Are you the mayor of Starkville or the mayor of Oxford?
First off, I love A.J. Brown. I think he's a great dude, great football player. He's really close with some family members of mine. He's a great dude. And his dad's worked with Mississippi State for a long time, actually. So, he's from Starkville. So, I don't ever get really involved with that, but I don't really care, man. The whole mayor thing started as the seniors were kind of picking at me my freshman year, just because I knew a lot of people on campus.
Yeah,
you know, because we had a lot of guys from, you know, like different parts of the country and different parts of even out of the country. We had Canadian guys, mm-hmm. and I came in to school from Pearl, Mississippi. So they were like, "Man, you know everybody around here." I was like, "Yeah, well, Rankin County is a pretty heavy Mississippi State area." So they were just poking at me, but. That's how all that started, but dude, I don't care what you call me, man. Just call me Jake. I don't care.
So we had you on Sports Talk Mississippi, I think back in like last February, when you had gotten the Major League roster invitation, and you were so adamant about like, this does not mean I'm in the bigs. I'm not in the bigs yet. And I told you on the podcast, I was like, it's not gonna be long. It's not gonna be long, and it wasn't. So. Just, I guess, take us through, you know, year one as a Tampa Bay Ray and what that was like and some of the moments that stood out to you.
Yeah, so last time we talked, I got added to the 40-man roster last offseason. And like I said, man, it does not mean I'm in the big leagues. I broke spring training in AAA again. What was crazy was an hour before first pitch at AAA opening day, they called me up. Mm-hmm. So it did happen pretty quick. I mean, it was a whirlwind of a year. There's nothing that will prepare you for Major League Baseball other than playing Major League Baseball. I'm very confident of that. It's the biggest jump I've ever made. There's never been a jump of levels quite like that one. At every level along the way, you could always rely on some pitching that, like, hey, this guy's not great. We can go get him today. But man, up there, it is every single dude that toes that rubber is gross. And, kind of learning throughout the year, a lot of learning curves this year. I'm happy with how my rookie year went, but I know I can do a lot better. And I'm just working my tail off to try to implement that.
When you go around the different sites and you see the different teams, a lot of Bulldogs, a lot of other Diamond Dogs out there in the majors right now. Was there kind of that moment of like when you see Rooker or some of those guys was like, finally, he's finally up here. We're glad to see you.
Yeah, a couple guys said took you long enough, and I was like, yeah, well, that's kind of out of my control sometimes. But it was special, man. It seemed like every team we played, there was some Mississippi State guy on the other dugout. And I've been telling this story. One of the coolest things for me was no matter where we went in the country, no matter where we traveled this year, there was always maroon in the stadium somewhere. Could always spot it out because maroon kind of sticks out with most of the colors we play against. I'm saying Los Angeles Angels. There was a family out there. Seattle. I mean, you name it, man. Wherever we went, there was a Mississippi State fan. I'd say the only stadium I didn't see a Mississippi State fan in that I can recall would be Toronto. Only one.
Well, I mean, I'll tell you that as soon as you got called up, I reached out to Joel Coleman. I was like, "Are the Rays in Atlanta this year?" And you weren't. And he said, "That's the only is like that was the only reason you didn't see this guy in maroon and white at a baseball stadium." I was definitely going to come, and we'll definitely try to make it out there, this upcoming season. But people talk about the journey. From playing baseball as a little kid to making it to the major leagues. Do you have a sense of, the end of the journey, or is the journey just getting started for you?
Look, man, I'm gonna play until they rip the freaking jersey off my back. I part of being a 29-year-old rookie is you kind of start realizing like this is just what I do for a living. This is just what I wanna do for a living. I don't know what else I'd do. I'm gonna be 30 years old at camp. I feel young. I feel really better than I ever have. I mean, as far as like where I'm at in my career, I hope to play 10 more years. I would love to play until I'm 40, man. That would be awesome. And I'm gonna do everything in my power to make sure that my body holds up until then. And so yeah, I feel like I'm just getting started. It ain't easy though. This is a very, very tough level to stay at. It's one thing to make it. It's a whole nother thing to stay. I was fortunate enough to stay the full season. I missed day one, so I got a full year of service time. But now we're going to work on getting 2 full years of service time. We're just going to look at it just brick by brick. And we're going to take each year for what it's worth, and we're going to, keep working as hard as we can. And all those cliche answers you hear, I'm still going to give them. Because there really is something to that. Most of my interviews this year, I started realizing I was super cliche. But what I realize is that it's there for a reason. And like it's just what's the best advice to kids out there? I'm a 29-year-old rookie. Guess what? Showing up, working hard, believing in yourself. That's like it really is like that. Like what's the secret recipe? Just work hard, show up, do your best, see how far you can go and just take it one day at a time. Like that really is what I did for 29 years. And I had some great support staff in my family and friends, and Mississippi State did a lot for me. My high school did a lot for me. I had minor league coaches that did a lot for me, and 3 different organizations now that helped me along the way. Like you just kind of take it day one day at a time, like day by day, all that cliche stuff. That really is like what I would say the secret is. Like I and some people get upset with that. Like, oh, dude, there's got to be something. Like, do you coil your hip or stay back a little bit longer? Look fastball, look off speed. I'm like, sure, those things help, but like, just work hard and show up and just see how far you can go.
So you told me you were doing some work earlier today. So what does that work consist of? What is a Major League Baseball player doing when he's away from the team and away from camp to work on his game?
Well, it's kind of a tale of two stories a little bit. For 9 months out of the year, you are structured. Everything's be here at this time. You're watching the clock 9 months out of the year. So for these 3 months, you're kind of on your own. I communicate with the Rays strength and conditioning staff. I communicate with the Rays hitting department to just try to get better. My first, I'd say 7 days home, I just relaxed and just got away from everything. Then that next week, I started working out, moving some weights around, moving. And then you just kind of keep progressing into more and more training. Yesterday, I kind of started my off-season hitting routine with my dad, actually. And then today, I'm not hitting. I'm just going to be training, moved around in the gym a little bit. I'm going to go back in there when we're done with this call and finish up my workout. It's just, you just try to get better, man. You try to get stronger. You try to get faster. You try to get healthier. You try to learn ways to do those things throughout a 9 month season, because dude, that 162 games, It is unlike anything I've ever done.
Yeah.
In the minor leagues, it's 150 games, which is pretty close to that, but it's 6-game series. You get Mondays off every Monday, 6-game series. So you're in one city for a week. You're in one city for a week. You get Monday off, one city for a week, Monday off. Like, that's pretty freaking easy.
The structure to it.
Yeah. It, I'm not saying it's easy. Like, minor league season is not easy. But compared to the big leagues, man, it's you're in Arizona for 3 days. And you hop on a plane. You're playing the next day for 3 days in San Diego. Then you're going to Seattle. And then we had a 2-week West Coast road trip where we were in 6 different cities. Then we fly back home. So the time zone changes, and you got to get ready to play East Coast baseball and outside in Tampa. And it's July, and it's 185 degrees. There was just so many things that, like, it was just a lot of, you're picking up your stuff, you're putting down your stuff, you're picking up your stuff, putting down your stuff. And then through 162 game season, 3-game series, it's just a lot of going, going, going. So for these 3 months, man, I try to stay still. I'm either in Rankin County or Starkville, seeing family, seeing friends, and training is every day. I'm in the gym 6 days a week. I take Sundays off and just try to keep building, man. It just, you never really stop.
Did you have a welcome to the big leagues rookie moment this year?
Yes, plenty. I had too many to even think of a story, but for me, still the coolest thing for me was I went 0-for against the Rockies in my debut. The next game we played, I went 0-for-3 with a walk against the Rockies. Game two was against the Pirates. Adam Frazier's at second. I get my first hit through the 6th hole, and Frazier throws in my first base hit ball to our dugout. Next pitch, I steal second. Frazier's right there. And there was a picture of us. Like, that was really cool for me.
Yeah.
Because when I was in high school, I watched Adam Frazier play at Mississippi State. And I was like, all right, if that hitting approach works at Mississippi State, I think my hitting approach will work there too. So he was kind of my guy of like I watched how Frazier hit when he was in college and I was in high school. So to get my first major league hit with him at second base, that was a cool, like, man, like, kind of full circle moment for me a little bit.
Yeah. So speaking of playing at Mississippi State, you know, I was at your last game in Omaha, and you take off the uniform for the last time. You don't know, I'm ever going to wear this uniform again. Probably not. You had that opportunity a couple weeks ago at the Diamond Dog Classic. What did it mean to put on that M over S one more time?
Really cool, man. That was a special event. Really, really cool event. It's just another story of like, hey man, like, what's Mississippi State like? What's playing there like? Well, like, now I can be like, well, all the stories I have, and now I can be like, oh yeah. And then like 7 years later, I had an alumni game, or 6 years later, I have an alumni game, and there was close to 11,000 people at the game watching a bunch of guys run around on the field, just reliving the glory days. It was really cool, man. It was, we were all really thankful to be out there. We were all kind of stunned at the out like the showing of the fans. It looked packed, man. I know it fits 15,000, but it looked packed.
Yeah, when you get into the 10,000 plus in that stadium, it just looks that way. When it's like 15,000, you can see just from looking out in the outfield and stuff. But yeah, that's how that stadium kind of works. For me, I wanted to ask you this. You know, think about coaching changes, and you know, some guys, you know, they play for one guy their whole career. and they have such loyalty to him, to that coach. You played for four different head coaches. Do you have the kind of loyalty to a single coach that somebody like maybe like Tanner Allen, who, you know, basically Chris Lemonis was there with him from day one. Does that you have that same kind of that's my guy mentality?
No,
Yeah.
to be honest, no. Because when I look at our four seasons, what sticks out to me is the consistency through the change. Like, man, we four super regionals, that ain't easy. Two Omaha trips, that ain't easy. Winning an SEC championship, really, really freaking hard. I have a lot of gratitude for all four coaches because I learned different things from Cohen, Cannizzaro, Henderson, and Lemonis. All four of them taught me different styles that work as coaches and taught me different ways to communicate with players differently. John Cohen is a hell of a lot different than Gary Henderson. Andy Cannizzaro is a lot different than Chris Lemonis. And you can say that about each one. So, like, what was at the time, I was kind of frustrated with it. Like, man, like, can we get some stability? But what I realized was is that we had a lot of stability in the locker room. We had a group of guys that no matter what, like, hey, we're gonna go out there and bust their tail and we're gonna go try to win a ball game. And no matter what was going on in our lives or off the field, like when we showed up to the yard, like it was business, all business. And I got a lot of gratitude for all four of them, man. Like, there's things Cannizzaro taught me about pro ball that, like, I wouldn't have known without him. There's things about practice that I wouldn't have known about without John Cohen. And one thing I'll say about Henderson is, like, the mentality of things. Like, he did a great job of, like, steadying a ship that was about to turn over. Like, it would have been really easy for 2018 under Henderson to go very, very south, very, very fast.
You just did a podcast about that season.
Yeah, man, like that. Like, if we would have won a national championship that year, and we finished third, but if we would have finished that thing out, like that would have been the most remarkable college baseball season in the history of the game.
Yeah, what if?
I'll die on that hill. We came a little short, but like, there's still a lot to be proud of that year, because that kind of started that. Like, hey, we belong in Omaha, no matter what's going on. And then 2019, I thought we were one of the best teams in the country, and it was just we're coming. We fell short again, but man, I got a lot of gratitude to all four coaches, man. I can't pick a favorite. I can't pick one that was the most meaningful to me. John Cohen recruited me in high school, so I'd say, like, I owe him a lot. Because, without that, I wouldn't have even showed up there. And that's all I can really say on the four guys.
So let's talk about the guy that's in charge of Mississippi State right now. What are your thoughts on Brian O'Connor?
All business, man. I'm pretty blown away at the way he operates. I'm blown away at his commitment to showing the current team what it means to put on that uniform. Something that scared me whenever this whole era of college sports changed during COVID. A lot of things changed during COVID. But what I was worried about was is that you. What does it mean now to put on a uniform at the school you represent? And O'Connor just seems completely bought into making sure these kids understand that, like it means something to put this uniform on, even whenever you don't want to be here or you're having a bad day. He's bringing back guys to speak that, like a lot of guys that, like, can tell them, like, hey, I played here 40 years ago, and this place still means the world to me. So for those kids to hear that, like, they understand, like, hey, we're in that moment right now. Enjoy it. Work hard. Do our best. All that good stuff. And not to mention, dude, his recruiting, he's dominating it, man. Like, he absolutely putting on a clinic recruiting. And recruiting is a dang big deal, man. Like, and I'm fired up about it. Like, I am stoked about him. I think he's just a purebred winner that just knows how to win, man. His track record proves it. His mannerisms prove it. The way he communicates proves it. And just I'm blown away. I think it's a 10 of 10 hire. I think he's going to absolutely be a rock star for Mississippi State.
You know, you famously at the podium after your final game said that Chris Lemonis was the guy who was going to win a national championship at Mississippi State. Would you make the similar prediction now for Brian O'Connor? Will he bring another national championship to this university?
Yeah, I hate throwing that around now. I was emotional at that press conference for sure, but I meant it. Did I think it was going to be the next season that was possible to win one? No. Or yes, but like not like I wouldn't have been like 2021 or the next season you're going to win it. I want our like fan base to understand that like making a super regional is a difficult thing. I feel like we had a 6 year span where we were just going to the supers and it was just like this is just what we do. Yes, it is what we do as a program, but like it is very difficult to come out of a regional, especially if you're the road team in the regional. So like to just say that like we're gonna win all these national championships, that's a very tough thing to say. But do I think Brian O'Connor wins a national championship? Yes. I think he will bring another national championship to Mississippi State baseball. I don't know when. I'm not gonna try to predict that, but I also wanna like really emphasize that going to Omaha is a special occasion. It's not this thing that you just roll out every year and yes, we should expect to be there. That should be our standard, 100,000%. But let's also be very grateful and like understand this it's a very difficult thing to do.
Jake, always a pleasure to talk to you, man. Glad to have you back on the podcast and glad to have you back in Starkville when you can get here. And good to see you, man. Good luck again in 2026. Opening day will be here before we know it.
Thank you, man. Thanks for having me on. It's always good talking. If you ever need me, let me know, man. Hail State, man. And raise up.
Need to get Rooker next. I've had Rooker on the radio. I don't know if we've had him on the pod. Need to get Rooker.
I don't know if we have either. And we might have one time.
Really need to get Woodruff on too. He just signed a new
Yeah,
deal.
that'd be great.
Or not, I don't know if he signed a new deal. He just took arbitration or whatever. But I just saw that earlier this week.
When
But
he's healthy is
Woodruff,
when he's healthy is one of the best pitchers
great
in
pitcher.
baseball.
Yeah, no question.
Which, we all kind of saw a little bit whenever he was here.
All those flashes and just never.
But man, when he got up to about double A, you could really see it coming along there. And Jake's been that way forever. I mean,
Jake's been solid the whole way. Like he should have been in the majors 2 years ago, but
we got a chance to talk to him pre-interview. I was not included in this interview. I just want to make that clear. I was sitting across the table from Haydad, was not allowed to participate. So that's how it goes sometimes. But we did get a chance. I did get a chance to talk to Jake pre-interview. And he gave his thoughts on Lane Kiffin. He gave his thoughts on some of that
We're
stuff.
on the same page of that. It's
Jake
work.
believes it's a work. I do not.
Finger poke of doom.
I don't think that it's a work. I don't think it's a work in terms of like Ole Miss is
You
in
think you
on
don't
it.
think Ole Miss, I think Lane Kiffin is the work that's doing the work
Yeah,
here.
I think there's a possibility that he stays at Ole Miss.
Yeah, I agree.
But at this point, it's kind of getting to the point where there's about to be a fractured
There's some
relationship there.
toxicity.
Yes. Yes. I
Down
think we are
here.
getting to the point where it's like it's going to get so bad
Yeah. I
that you
think
might actually say, I can't do
tomorrow we'll
this.
have the O'Connor interview, but let's give a little focus to our friends in Oxford tomorrow, you and I.
Okay.
Let's talk that out. And who knows, by this time tomorrow, there could be resolution one way or the
Who
other. We'll
knows?
see.
Every day is a new day, and it's
A new day. Yes, it is. Let's move into our second interview, and that's brought to you by our friends over at, excuse me, Two Brothers Smoked Meats and the Older Brother. Two great places to grab lunch or dinner here in the city of Starkville, right next door to each other in the Cotton District. Smoked Southern soul food at the one, fancy sandwiches at the other. You can't go wrong at either place. People ask me all the time, they're coming to Starkville. Hey, Dad, where should I eat? Man, Two Brothers is always the top choice. It's always the first name I say. For anybody who's never been there, you're missing out. If you're a Mississippi State fan and you haven't been there, I don't know what I'm doing here. All right, I've been telling you about Two Brothers for years here on this podcast. It's been open. You have to know about it. What are you doing with your life? Get the Two Brothers the next time you're in Starkville. Great products, great service. Every business likes to promise it to you. They deliver it to you at Advantage Business Systems. That's what they've been doing for 50 years. You need technology for your business? Give Advantage Business Systems a call. And then if you need service, it's the same number. It's the same people. You know them. You have that relationship with them. That's what being a business that's open for 50 years, that's how they do it. That's how they keep the doors open. They deliver service after the sale. Anybody will sell you a copier. Who's there when that thing goes up? You got to have somebody there to help you. That's Advantage Business Systems. That's why they have been in business as long as they have. 601-362-9192 or visit them online, absms.com. Find out how Advantage Business Systems will help your business do business. So when you listen to this, I'll have already been to Scruggs. So I'm sure it was a great remote. I cannot stress enough, again, this weekend they start their holiday sale. When I tell you that, A, almost everything in the store is going to have some sort of discount on it, and B, almost everything in the store is everything you want for Christmas. Guys, it doesn't matter what you do. If you're a guy who's, big on keeping your yard looking tip-top, if you're a gardener, if you're an outdoorsman, we're talking about hunters, fishermen, they've got stuff for that. If you're a cook, they got a great selection of grills. If you're a handyman, they got a great selection of power tools. I can't stress enough that if you can do a lot of your holiday shopping by making one trip to Saltillo and seeing our friends at Scruggs. Go check them out. I promise I'm not overstating how much stuff is on the floor at Scruggs Farm Lawn and Garden. In Saltillo, they have what you want for less. I skipped Maroon & Co. there. Maroon & Co. is the
you
place
can't
to
skip Maroon & Co.
I'll just do them out of order. It'll be all right. Maroon & Co., that's the place to go. And, of course, Black Friday game here in Starkville, which means Black Friday, if you can get up early, get a little early shopping done, there's going to be great specials at Maroon & Co. Everything maroon and white. There is no place in Starkville that has a bigger or better selection of Mississippi State gear than the guys over at Maroon & Co. Use our promo code THUNDER15. You save 15% off regular price. Some exclusions will apply. If you're going to be in Starkville for the Egg Bowl, make sure you get up early and you head over to Maroon & Co. If you're a landowner in the state of Mississippi, the name to know is Good Hope Land and Timber. It doesn't matter if you own maybe 100 acres or maybe you own a few thousand acres. When you want a full-service land and timber company working for you, helping you make smart, sustainable decisions, that's Good Hope Land and Timber. Their force is fully trained under the Sustainable Forestry Initiative. You can trust your land is in good hands with Good Hope Land and Timber. Whatever you're planning or if you're trying to buy or sell land, Good Hope Land and Timber are the folks to call. Good Hope Land and Timber, locally trusted, landowner approved. All right, we're going to stay on the diamond, but we're going over to softball. Coach Samantha Ricketts has built a very solid program. Year in, year out, they are contending for the NCAA tournament. Last year, I thought they were on the verge of finally breaking through and hosting a regional. And this year, she's brought in some interesting transfers. She's got what appears to be on paper to be a very deep pitching staff. So let's find out a little bit more about the softball dogs with Coach Samantha Ricketts. Again, all interviews here on Thunder and Lightning, brought to you by Allura Modern Wellness. We are back with the second edition of the bi-week blitz. We had basketball the first time around back in October. Let's do some baseball. Let's do some softball. Let's go to the diamond and Coach Samantha Ricketts, Mississippi State softball. Coach, I'm going to ask you a question to start here. I have never asked any other coach at Mississippi State, and I don't know why I've never asked, but
oh, no. I
thought of it, and I was like, I'll start with her. What kind of boss is Zach Selman?
Ooh. I mean, I really enjoyed Zach Selman. I think he's very much, very relational and for the people. Obviously, I've known him a lot longer, I think, than most. Him and I actually went to grad school together at OU way back in the day. And so I've just really enjoyed, since he's been here, how he's been really intentional getting to know not just, the coaches and staff, but the players and their names and their families. And when he comes around the softball games, he brings his family, they're at all the events. And it truly feels like he cares. And he's just so invested in each and every program and what they do day in and day out, which is something that, I think is rare. So that's something I really enjoyed about him. And he's invested in just really always asking what he can do to help. And I've appreciated what he's brought in to the athletic department. I think just a lot of systems and processes and organizational flows for a lot of different things that have been really beneficial for us. But I think overall, the number one thing I've enjoyed the most is just the relationships and how much he cares about everybody around him that he's working with.
And being at OU all that time, he has to have an appreciation for softball that maybe some other athletic directors would not.
Absolutely. Yeah. He's been a big fan. He was there when my sister was there as well after, and she won a national championship with OU. Obviously knew their staff well, and really it was one of his first questions to me when he got here was, why aren't we selling tickets for softball? He's like, I don't understand. I'm like, thank you, I've been trying to do that. So I've appreciated that investment has been a huge piece for us as well.
So it's one of my least favorite things, because I like to talk about games and athletes and coaches. I don't like to talk about the business of sports as much, but the landscape of college athletics. I'm kind of sick of that phrase, but it is what it is. Where is softball right now in the landscape of college athletics? I think,
you know,
it's
really
myself.
Yeah, it really is just such an interesting time. Like, for myself, even through my head coaching journey these last couple years now, no year has been the same. You know, my first year as head coach was COVID, and then we went through all the changes after that with the transfer portal into NIL and now rev share. So I think, you know, just trying to adapt and kind of learning where we're at each and every year. And softball is such a rapidly growing sport. The investment that we've seen, particularly from the viewership numbers and what we've seen with our Women's College World Series and the TV numbers that we've pulled in each and every year, we know as a sport that it's really a prime time for us to continue to help elevate the game. And there's just so many eyes on us, and that we have the potential to potentially bring in revenue as a female sport. And there are some programs that are able to do that. Selling tickets is a huge part of it. But you need to have the facilities, I think, to bring in that many people. So I think on that side of it, it's, you know, fighting for women's athletics, giving us a chance to show the growth of our game, the popularity, a chance to produce revenue for these institutions, because the game is so popular. And it's just grown faster and faster every year, to the point where we are having the same sorts of conversations, obviously on a much different level in terms of NIL and rev share when it comes to recruiting, and just making sure that we can be competitive in that space, particularly in our conference, as the game continues to grow and the popularity, and there's just so many more eyes on us than even there were 8 to 10 years ago.
So let's talk about your team in particular here. And, you know, I look at the stats from last year. You bring back a pretty good chunk of production there in the lineup. You've got some veterans, you know, Nadia, Morgan, Kiara. How big a step can they take forward for you this year? Can they be your top three hitters? Can they be the players who take this team not only into the NCAA tournament, but maybe hosting that regional here in Starkville?
Yeah, I really like our group right now. I think particularly those three you mentioned, that senior class, they've been with us for 4 years, which nowadays is rare in the era of college athletics that we're in, and particularly Morgan and Kiara, because they did not play their first two seasons. And I think most players would have left. They would have transferred for more opportunities, but they are just so invested in Mississippi State and this program. They worked so hard and they earned the opportunity, and both were full-time starters for us last year and had great seasons. And I'm excited to see what they do with the second year. I think they've learned a lot, had a lot of experience, some big moments for all three of them, where Nadia has pretty much been in the lineup since her freshman year. And she still continues to improve. And I think that's something that we're really proud of in our program, is how our players develop and continue to get better over the course of their careers. And I think Nadia's last year could be her best. I think she could have the potential to do what a Madison Kennedy did in her senior year and put up All-American type numbers for us. She's going to need to be protected. So I think those other two will play a big part. And then really some of my sophomores, ones that were new for us last year, but again, they put in the work. They're really talented. I think Paige Ernstis is one I expect to step up a lot offensively. She was our big pinch hitter. She hit over 330 off the bench as a pinch hitter and walked off number one Texas. Just had some huge moments, and she's, I think, ready for more of a full-time role, and excited to get her in there with some of these others. And that's what's fun about, to me, the recruiting process and the development, is players that stick around and continue to get better. And I think it really helps the culture and everything that we're doing day in and day out.
As a coach, are you sometimes surprised when you talk to a player who maybe hasn't had those opportunities yet, and they tell you, no, I'm staying?
Yeah, it is interesting, because nowadays, you know, you hear there's so many people in their ear, you know, from their parents to their friends, their teammates at other schools, travel ball coaches. And so there's always rumors flying around. But for us, all we can control is what happens in our own building every day, and just building those relationships and trying to be as open and honest in that communication day in and day out, so it's not just end of the year conversation. So I think with those two, I knew where they were at, and just, you know, knew that they saw the vision and the future of what we were working to as well. But there's always, I think, a little bit of a doubt, just because at one point somebody gets in their ear and they're I think things can change. And we see that too on the flip side. And that's just kind of the era we're in. That's why we bring in bigger freshman classes, just anticipating that not all of them will stay over the course of their career, which is unfortunate because we like all of our freshman groups we bring in.
Is Delaney Everett ready to be your ace?
She really has the mindset for it. Is she going to be healthy? Mm-hmm. That's really been what's kind of held her back the last 2 years. She's been through a lot this past season. Her father passed away the first week of season. She had an injury that really limited her pitch count. And she's another one, you know, all the way out here from California, but she says, you know, Starkville reminds her so much of her hometown, of her dad. And she's just such a great kid. And I just really want her senior year to be her best. We may use her in a different role, and we've yet to really get an answer on how to get her back to fully healthy. But if she can come in and be a shutdown closer and throw 50, 60 pitches for us, then she'll do that every day. And she's willing to do whatever it takes. So I think right now that's kind of the role we're looking for. It's still a huge role, but she's got the mentality to go out there and do it. And you know, I'm hoping that that's something that we can do, really just put her in a position to be successful.
Looking at the transfer portal and some of the pitchers that you brought in, I feel bad for our friend Brian Ogden having to write out all the accolades that Paige Gould has accumulated in her college career. She has a pretty decorated resume. You went out in the transfer portal. You got a couple of highly decorated pitchers to come in. How deep is your staff this year? How good do you feel about your pitching?
Yeah, I would say it's the deepest it's ever been since I've been here. And that was really the goal this summer. You know, we approached the end of last season. Obviously, Raelynn Chafin did a phenomenal job for us in her 1 year as our ace. But knowing that, hey, we needed somebody else to be able to step up, particularly if Delaney wasn't going to be fully healthy, and we needed more than one. So we kind of evaluated where we were at compared to where we want to be, which is in the hosting conversation. And the biggest discrepancy we saw in terms of numbers was the pitching staff. So that was the goal this summer. Went out and got three different arms. They're all different years. We got a sophomore, junior, senior transfer, which I think can really help the longevity of that. But definitely a staff, all different looks. Peja obviously being kind of the frontliner one. She was a huge get for us this summer, and she's really lived up to the expectations this fall. Not only what she does on the mound and on the field, but she's just been a phenomenal leader, which is tough to do as a pitcher. You're not out there every day with the group, but I love her competitiveness, her spirit, and she throws just some of the nastiest pitches that I've seen in a long time, and I can't wait to see her throw them against some SEC hitters.
Do you have a true freshman that you think can be a contributor for you this year?
Yeah, I've got a couple I could see mixing in. You know, in the circle, I think Brinkley Morton is kind of, you know, a big part of our future, so it's nice we can kind of protect her with some of the other staff with more experience. So, but she's definitely going to get some innings. We want to get her some experience to start off her career. And I would say Kinley Keller in the outfield, one of our probably top two defensive outfielders right now. She's got a huge arm, been really impressive with what she's done in the outfield right now, just trying to get her caught up on the offensive side. And then I would say Gabby Schaefer up the middle. She's another one I could see by the end of the year moving into more of a full-time role. She is just one of the most natural, smoothest, athletic infielders that I've seen. She's got great hands, big arm. And I'm excited for both her and Kenley as they kind of continue to progress offensively to see how much we can get them in the lineup there to help us out.
So looking at it right now, your schedule is not complete. You've got the SEC schedule up on, at least on OhioState.com. It may be complete. And you just, if you want to break some news, you feel free to do it. You go right after it here. You know, looking at last year, you had two top 25 wins the first weekend of the season. You really dove into the deep end of the pool and were successful there. Is that just the philosophy that you like to have? You want to be battle test? Because Lord knows the SEC is going to battle test you, but do you like to be ready to go before that first weekend of conference play?
Definitely. I think it's important that we see some quality competition before SEC play because, you know, it's a gauntlet from the first weekend to the last. It doesn't matter who you're playing in this conference. Anybody can beat you. So it really is a balance, you know, trying to get experience, especially for our younger ones, but then also making sure it's quality experience, and then we have some good ranked opponents on there as well. So our schedule hopefully will be out here soon in the next few weeks, but we actually have two road trips to Power Four teams. So we'll start off at Baylor to open the season, which will be a good tournament for us and competition there. And then we'll also make a trip to Clemson. So, and that was really kind of the focus, is to get, especially these transfer pitchers who played at this level, but I want them to be in front of these crowds. Clemson does a great job of bringing in huge crowds, even for their non-conference, and for them to feel a little bit of that pressure and just kind of know what that feels like. It's the same reason we went and played at Alabama this fall. They're not on our spring schedule, so we wanted to see how quickly we could get them in front of some true SEC competition, SEC hitters. I thought that was a great experience for all three of them, but really the whole team.
So, you know, about 2.5 months, I guess, to the start of this season. So this is a tough question to ask because I'm going to ask you about what we're going to look at the end of the season. How do you think this team will be remembered when it's all said and done?
You know, it's tough. I think any coach you talk to, it depends on the day. Or some days you're like, oh, we're terrible. We're not going to do anything. And some days you're like, I think we could be pretty good.
That's just like anybody else with the kids, man, sometimes.
It is. It really is. You're like, all right, well, how's this going to turn out? But I do really enjoy this team. I think overall they're very focused in their goals and their groups, and they've really worked hard on – we use the fall a lot, just building relationships and enhancing our culture. And they've, I think, really been intentional with that this season, I think, which will help us in the long run. I think just on the field overall, maybe we don't score as many runs as we did last year, but I think we're more athletic. I think we can steal more bases. I think we're going to play better defense, which has been goals for us to be a little bit more well-rounded instead of just trying to hit the long ball. Mm-hmm. And then I think the pitching staff is going to be kind of the equalizer. If our staff can, you know, if we can lower that ERA and limit people to run so we're not putting as much pressure on the offense through a lot of those games, I think we can put ourselves in a good position to be in that hosting conversation again. We were in it for a little bit last year, but we want to actually finish and see our name up there with the Starkville Regional at the end of the year. And I think this team has the capability to do that.
All right. One last question. You don't happen to know where Lane Kiffin's going to go, do you?
I don't. Nobody tells me that information.
Okay. I was making sure, you know, if you knew, I wanted to get that out there. So I'm asking everybody.
Somebody has to know, right? Everybody, all the experts online know.
I'm trying to find out, Coach. I'm doing the best I can here. Coach Samantha Ricketts, always a pleasure to talk to you. Mississippi State softball, looking forward to another great season here in Starkville.
Appreciate it. Thanks for having me on.
I think I've mentioned this to her before, but like usually Coach Ricketts is like Coach Lebby. Like how many questions you have is how long the interview is going to be. It's going to be about 60 seconds, question, answer, go on to the next thing. I thought she was very in-depth there. She, you know, that's a good interview with her. Always good to talk to her. And she's just another coach that's a winner. You know, yeah. She was a winner in college. She's a winner here at Mississippi State. She's got this softball program going in the right direction. Speaking of going in the right direction, tomorrow on the podcast, we will have Coach Brian O'Connor, skipper of the Diamond Dogs, on. I got a nice interview planned with him. I haven't done that yet, so, you know, I could be wrong. It could be a total stinker. He'd just be like, you know, Brian, you suck. And go from there. But I'll work it. I'll make it.
I doubt it.
Yeah. Also on tomorrow's pod, we'll talk about Ole Miss. We got to dive in. You know, we're a full service college football pod. We can talk about this stuff. Also, Robbie is leaving from here to go talk to Jeff Lebby, and he told me point blank, he's like, I'm going to snarl. I'm going to point at him with that long phalange. Show him what Lebby's going to see later today. Look at that. Lebby don't want none of that action. And he's gonna get to the bottom of all of this today.
But I will not be screaming at him and telling him he's a terrible coach.
That's what you're gonna do.
What some people think.
Yes.
But there are some questions that I'm interested in on his thoughts about the quarterback position.
That was his team. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, they won't be those or asking about the fans or whatever. But
right.
No. I mean, there's kind of some contradiction on what we're hearing.
Agreed.
About the quarterback position, about wasted plays. You and I have been talking about that.
I'm fascinated to hear his answer on that, you know, because
I don't know what that is. So we can define the
exactly
what are the parameters of a wasted
exactly
play.
I can't, again, I can't wait to hear what he says. So all right, we'll have all of that for you tomorrow. You know, for a bye week Friday podcast, tomorrow is pretty loaded, so looking forward to talking to you guys tomorrow. For Robbie Falk, I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks for listening to Thunder Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.